Tonight is Wednesday night, February 19. This is the women's Mishnah Gemara share. We're in the middle of topics of Davish Ein Davish Abikdusha Pachas Me'asara. Okay. We're going to continue our learning concerning the mitzvah of saying Dvarim Shebikdusha, davening with a minyan, which many parts require a minyan. We learned the Mishnah and a variety of other topics. And tonight we're going to see what might be the significance of either is it the minyan or the shul, which is the strongest element to drive us to shul. Is it the fact that we're in a shul? Or is it the fact that there is a minyan in the shul? And if there is a minyan somewhere else, you don't necessarily have to run to shul, because the primacy is the minyan. We'll talk about that. And hopefully we'll also have time to see the enormous debate in the Gemara whether davening in a Beit Knesset or a Beit Midrash is considered to be preferred. I don't mean a shtibel. I mean a Beit Midrash in the classic sense of the Gemara. In the time of the Gemara, there was a clear distinction amongst classes. Amei Haaretz davened in shuls. Talmidei Chachamim davened in the place where they learned Torah, in the Beit Midrash. So there's going to be a debate whether or not davening in a shul is more important or davening in a Beit Midrash, if we get to that tonight. But I want to dedicate tonight's shir to the memory of Vivi's father, Zichrono Livracha. She didn't ask me to do it, but I just want to do it anyhow. And as I say every single year, he was a gentle giant. That characterizes, he was firm with his children, the nicest person on the planet, a real gentleman, incredible gentleman. And he's reaping the nachas from his children and grandchildren in the way they have dedicated their lives to Torah and their community. So, we're starting on page number one with a comment by the Mishnah Brura that a person should make every single effort to daven with the tzibur, says the Mishnah Brura. B'pnei she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mo'eis b'tfilat HaTzibur. What?
Women too.
Should women daven with a minyan? Yeah, of course. Yeah. This is men and women. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not reject or revolt whenever there are tfilat HaTzibur. Ve'afilu haya bahem chotim. Even if there were public sinners and transgressors in the context of this minyan, lo yimana milehit palel imahem. You should not stop yourself from davening with them. In yeshlo shtei batei knesiot. If there are two shuls in town, the echad yeshbo berov, and one of them has a bigger crowd, then berov am mitzvah lihit palel bo yoter. It is preferred to daven with a bigger minyan. Something today that nobody believes anymore. Always try to pick up a little pickup minyan, and so on and so forth. And we're going to see various applications, and when it's convenient to people to quote the Mishnah Brura, they do so. And where it's not convenient to remember what the Mishnah Brura says, they don't do so. I happen to think that there is a machala in Teaneck with house minyanim. It's a machla. It's just unbelievable how many house minyanim there are for Friday night and Shabbos afternoon. How many? And it's not that people... Some of them are a block away from a shul. A block and a half away from a shul. And it's, there's no, if, again, somebody is an elderly parent who can't walk to shul, I can understand. But that's not the case most of the time. Yes, 100%. Berov am hadrat melech.
But it's not describing different
size
shuls.
It is. It says if there is two choices of shuls, one with a small crowd. His point is two different shuls. So I am saying kal v'chaymer ben benoy shel kal v'chaymer that you shouldn't be davening at a little pickup minion in somebody's house.
But how do you handle two shuls? One's a new one, one's an old one. So who's going to eventually become?
Who, whichever you move into a neighborhood, there are two shuls. Which one should you try to daven in?
Saying pick the bigger one.
The bigger crowd.
Small one gonna ever come.
I don't know. So it'll be a small one.
That would have
spoken. Okay, we'll see that there are those who claim, and that's the out that he gives, that if you can't have kavana, if you can't have kavana in the big shul, you're allowed to daven in the small shul.
Maybe that's
but, right? Okay. Yes. Yes.
But I don't,
we know there's different nusach. Right.
Can you explain more about the earlier part when you just said about the reason why?
Yes.
And also about the idea that you, even if there are people who are
saying, yes, so yes, we say that on Yom Kippur night. Anu matirin lehit palelim avaryanim. Right, but that's a specific, I don't want to focus on that now. But let me take care of the opening line itself. And then I'll show you the source of the shul issue. But the idea to daven with a minyan is based on a very simple hashkafat issue. We know that tefillah is a judgment of the individual as he or she prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God has to make a decision whether to say yes or to say no. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always listens. He is a Shomea Tfilah B'chol Eit. But sometimes he turns us down. But he listened. So if you would like to go ahead and hopefully get a positive response, so it's going to depend often, not always, but often on the way a person conducts him or herself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a decision. That's why it's called tefillah. I've mentioned to you months ago that the root of tefillah comes from palel. Palel means to judge, as the Torah itself in this week's parsha. So look for the word. Two people are duking it, one and another, and one guy punches, v'natan biflilim. Let the case be handled in court, in front of judges. So if it's going to be a judgment, maybe there are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not terribly pleased with you. And therefore he will listen and say no. And say no. There's a famous Avi Weiss story that he always told. And he said a young girl came to camp, and one of the other campers, a cruel person, ripped off her doll's arm. Ripped off the doll's arm. Cruel. So when she went to bed, she prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reattach the doll's arm to the doll. She prayed. Seriously. And all the other kids ridiculed her again. You know for a fact that God doesn't listen to these lousy prayers about attach. He's got better things to do than attach a doll. And it's not going to happen. She continued to daven. Next morning, as you all expected, the hand was not reattached. And they all came over and said, "You see, God doesn't listen to your stupid prayers." And she said, "Yes, he did. But he said no." He said no. And that happens with many of us. You know, we say in Rifa'enu lots of names, and then unfortunately the person passes away, and you have to remember to remove that person from your list. Otherwise, you make a mishaberach for somebody begging for somebody who's already passed away. But it happens. As a result, it's always better to daven with a tzibur. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears a tzibur davening, His decision is not necessarily based on every individual, but it depends on the overall consideration of how the majority of these people are doing. And therefore, even if there are avaryanim within their midst, if the majority of the people in this community, in this shul, are deserving of having been answered positively, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will issue a decision for the whole group, and even the avayanim will hang by the coattails of the tzaddikim, and that's why Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mo'eis b'tfilatan shel rabim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never rejects entirely at least that's what the Gemara says, and that's what the Rambam says. Again, it's hard to say, well, never HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no to a tzibur. This world would be a different world if HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said no. But anyhow, that's what he says. Now, if you turn to page 2 for a minute, according to this opinion, the emphasis is not so much the tzibur, but because what is in a tzibur? What is it? Where is the tzibur found? In the Beit Knesset. Tanya, we learned in a Braita. This is Gemara, Brachos, Daf, Vav Amarav. Abba Binyamin Omer. Abba Binyamin said, Ein tfilah shel adam nishma'at ela bebeit haKnesset. Tfilah of a person is heard only in a Beit Knesset. You have to take all of these statements with a ton of salt, not a grain of salt. Because you can't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hear tfilot of other people who are not in the Beit Knesset. But it means there is a greater chance, and so on and so forth. How does he know? He quotes a pasuk. Shene'emar lishmoa el harina ve'el hatfila. That phrase has been lifted entirely from Sefer Melachim, and it's included as the refrain for the first night of Slichot, for the Pizmon. The Pizmon starts b'motzoi menucha, and everybody responds lishmoa el harina ve'el hatfila. So darshins the Gemara bimkom rina shum tehet fila. Where there is rina, where there is song, that's where there should be prayer. Based on the fact that Shlomo HaMelech said, Lishmoa el harina ve'el hatfila. This particular pasuk is included in Tfilat Shlomo. Chapter 8 of Sefer Melachim, Shlomo has a very long prayer when the Beit HaMikdash is first opened. And he describes many of the purposes of why he built a Beit HaMikdash. That people will be sick, they'll come to the Beit HaMikdash to pray. There will be a famine, they'll come to the Beit HaMikdash to pray. He even makes allowances and encourages Gentiles to come to the Beit HaMikdash to pray for any of their needs as well, does Shlomo. Now, that in itself doesn't necessarily indicate that it's a Beit Knesset. It just says, wherever there is song, bimkom rina shum tehet fila. So for that, you have to go to, I hope I quoted the Rashi. Yes, page 4 for a second. Top of page 4. Bimkom rina bebeit haKnesset. What does makom rina mean? In the Beit Knesset. Why? Shisham omrim hatzibur, she wrote v'tishpachot. There in the Beit Knesset, they sing song and say praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'ne'imat kol arev. With melody and having pleasant voices. Pleasant voices. The push by Rashi to go to a shul with a good chazan. B'ne'imat kol arev. So therefore, Abba Binyamin believes that the best, most effective place to daven happens to be in a shul. In a shul. And in fact, many claim that Abba Binyamin did not say a bloody word about what a minyan. He just said, where is the best place to daven? In a Beit Knesset. And it, even if there is no minyan, it might be best to daven in a Beit Knesset as opposed to davening with a minyan in somebody's house. It is a possibility. Not everyone agrees to that. That if there is no minyan in shul, that you should go to an empty shul rather than go to somebody's house to daven with a minyan. We'll see this in just a second. And on the bottom of, going back to page 2 for a second, on that very same page, the very next statement, Amar Ravin Barav Ada, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Minayin Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Matsui BeBeit HaKnesset. How do I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found in a Beit Knesset? Shene'emar Elohim Nitzav Ba'adat El. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing in the presence of Adat El, an Eidah, a group of people who are turning to God. So he places the emphasis of Beit Knesset not because there's Shira, Lishmo al Arena Velatfila, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence somehow is to be more fully recognized and identified in a Beit Knesset rather than any place else.
Mikdash
Me'at. It's called a Mikvo'ehi Lohem Mikdash Me'at. A Beit HaKnesset is halachically identified as a Mikdash Me'at. And there are many halachot that are derived in a Beit Knesset from the fact that these activities take place in the Beit HaMikdash. And it's a carryover from the Beit HaMikdash. So here the focus is on Beit Knesset. According to the second interpretation, the focus is Beit Knesset, yes, because there. What's in the Beit Knesset? Adat El. There is a minyan in the Beit Knesset, and therefore it's always more appropriate, more effective to daven in a Beit Knesset. In a Beit Knesset. Now, yes?
I think there was a misunderstanding of the word bimakom.
What?
I think there was a misunderstanding of the word bimakom. It's not bimakom, as in instead of.
No, of course not. That is correct. In the makom, of course. Right. Now go back to page 1, end of line 2 of that bracketed Mishnah Berurah. And here is the argument that many people use against it. That everything we just said now. Katvu ha'acharonim. The later rabbis have written, De'im yesh Beit Knesset shel Rov Am, that if there is a Beit Knesset of Rov Am, im Rov Bilbul, with lots of confusion, lots of talking, ve'ein Adam Shomea, lo Tfilah, ve'lo Kriyat HaTorah, it's hard to hear Tfilah and Kriyas HaTorah, Mutav lehit palel bebeito beasara. Then it's better to daven with a minyan in your house. But if there is no minyan that is available, you go to shul and you do not abandon shul, despite the fact that it's hard to hear certain things. Now, what might be the advantage under those circumstances? Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found perhaps more ever-present in a Beit Knesset, although I never understand why he would hang out in a place where all they do is talk all day. But anyhow, but what else, what other advantage can you accomplish in the Beit Knesset, even if there is a lot of talking?
Maybe you'll be mashpia somebody else.
Perhaps, highly unlikely, as you well know, highly unlikely. Ah, because the Devarim Shepikdusha, most people don't talk during Kedusha. Most people don't talk during Baruch Hu, when they say Baruch Hu. So there is an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah which we saw in the Mishnah in the when we started this topic. Here are the list of activities that are permitted only if there are 10 people present. So Kedusha is one of them. Nisi'at Kapayim is another. Typically speaking, even in the shul where they talk a lot, when there is Birchat Kohanim, you go to Israel where they duchen every day, during Birchat Kohanim, everybody is quiet. So you can fulfill the mitzvah, you can be blessed by the Kohanim for Birchat Kohanim. You can hear Kriyat HaTorah, which, again, none of those activities can take place out of the realm of the Beit Knesset. So even if it's a shul where there is lots of talking, the Mishnah Berurah will say, if there is a minyan elsewhere, and you can now create all of these dvarim shebikdusha in your house, that's the best thing. However, if you can't, it is better to daven a shul rather to forego that.
It's the push for the breakaway minyan. When you say you don't want to break away because you want everybody to be a kahila.
That's correct. But if it's too noisy, yes. Yes, that is true. Ubeit HaKnesset biyachid. Now, here comes the conflict. If there is a shul with a yachid, only the no minyan in the shul. Ubebeito ba'asara. But there are 10 people in your house. Tfilas tzibur adif. Davening with a minyan is better than davening in a Beit Knesset. Va'afilu yachol lishmoa kadosh baruch hu, afilu hachi tfilas tzibur adif. Even if I could have heard in the shul, let's assume for 5 minutes they had a minyan. So they said kadosh, they said baruch hu, but they didn't have a minyan for davening with the minyan. And what's going to be considered tfilah b'tzibur? Starting shmona esrei with the chazan. That is the definition of tefillah b'tzibur. To be in shul and start your shmona esrei together with the chazan. So the Mishnah Berurah says, under those circumstances, afilu hachi tefillas tzibur adiv. The ikar tefillas tzibur, what is the essential element of tefillas tzibur? Hu tefillat yudchet, shmona esrei, dehainu, Sheyitpalalu asara anashim shehen gidolim biyachad. 10 people should be davening together. V'lo kimo shechoshvin hahamon sheikar lehitpalel ba'asara hu rak lishmoa kadish ukedusha ubaruchu. They only care about being in shul for what? To hear a kaddish, to hear kedusha. This is a serious mistake. You have to. The most important thing is to daven b'tzibur. Davening b'tzibur is to start shmon esrei. So if we want to follow the recommended procedure of a topic ago, of smichut ge'ula l'tfilah, then you'd have to be in shul no later than baruch hu, and then you can recite Birchot Shema with the kehilah, and start Shmon Esrei right after having said Go'al Yisrael. That's the most preferred way to daven, even if you're going to be mochel on psuke de zimra, but you will at least have the opportunity to begin shmon esrei together. V'lachein chov al ha'adam l'maher l'beit ha'kneset kidei shi'agia l'hitpalel yutchet b'tzibor. That's why you should make a concerted effort to come to shul as early as possible. And he's not only talking about men, he's talking about women as well, who have an opportunity. Obviously, we have little kids in the house, that's almost impossible. But if you're beyond that point, you should try to make an effort to daven with a minyan, which is tefillah b'tzibur. Afal pishu what? Na anashim shehem gedolim, tama biyachad, means adults. Adults. Right. Perhaps we can devote one shir to a famous Gemara in Brachos about counting a minor to a minion. Counting a minor to a minion. It's happened in Renite in its early days where we had to count a minor to a minion. And there's a whole debate about it in the Gemara, and we accept it. We accept counting a minor to a minion. Yeah. So that's point number one of the point number two in the Mishnah Berurah. If you now turn for a second.
Would that open the door to accepting a woman?
No, it did not.
But you could say.
It did not.
You could say, since you were very close to Benisher, you could just all walk out of
Benisher. Yeah, at times we did. At times we did. But so if you're there for a mar of minion, you know, in a night, nobody's walking to Benisher after that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Now, in order to highlight the idea of davening with a minyan, there is another statement in the Gemara talking about a person who is at home, and you should try to time your davening together with the tefillah, with the shul. With the shul. Go now to page number 5. Page number 5. And it's the end of the first line. Amar Rav Yosef. Amar Rav Yosef. Lo litzle inish tslusa de musve bitlas sha'i kamaisa. Biyoma. Biyoma kama beresh shata biyachid. That on Rosh Hashanah, if you're not able to get to shul, you should not daven musaf of Rosh Hashanah before 3 hours of the day. So let's, for our argument's sake, sun rises at 6 a.m., before, you should not daven musaf before 9 a.m. in the morning. Why? Because on Rosh Hashanah, during Tfilat Musaf, is when we recite Malchiyot Zichronot and Shofrot. And the first 3 hours in the morning are a time of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. He's a little more... And I'm only going to repeat what the Gemara says, not that I have a clue what it means. It says that the first 3 hours in the morning are not She'at Rachamim. They are not day hours during which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look at you favorably.
Just on Rosh Hashanah?
All year. But all year. But the real, the judge, here it makes the emphasis on Rosh Hashanah because that's the Yom HaDin. And the Yom HaDin is generally executed during Tfilat Musaf, as we recite in the Piyut. Levochein levavot biyom din. Legole amukot badin. Yes.
So what about Vatikin minions that get to Musaf earlier?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. So, the answer is, Vatikin has to do that because that's the whole purpose of Vatikin, to get finished on time. So the wives can come. So to some extent, they don't listen to this, and they hope that this Gemara should be taken with 2 tons of salt, not one.
It's, I think it's more special.
Right, I understand that, but here the Gemara says you should not daven. A yachid who's davening at home, then they're not worried about Vatikin Minyanim on Rosh Hashanah. They know that the overwhelming majority of people are not going to be facing this particular conflict. In fact, quite the contrary. I'll tell you a very famous story of the Maram of Rutenberg. The Maram of Rutenberg Yeah. He was davening in shul on Rosh Hashanah, and the Baal Shachris was taking a very long time. A very long time. And what he did was, he was afraid that if Shachris would end after Zman Mincha had already arrived, Mincha Gedayla, which is not so late, then you now have the question, should I daven Mincha before Musaf or not? The Gemara deals with davening Musaf or Mincha, and on Yom Kippur, the Maram Ritmerk had that issue. So what he would do is, he would chop up Musaf while everybody was doing davening Shachris, and the Baal Shachris was being Ma'arich too long, so he just quickly davened Musaf, so that even though everybody else has the halachic dilemma, I'm comfortable. I've taken care of myself. I've davened Musaf before the Zman Mincha arrived. That's correct. That's how, and he said, I am the Rama Rutenberg. I could have told the people, you know what? We have to daven Mincha before Musaf. What's the big deal? Daven Mincha before Musaf. But he said, I know they're going to stone me. They're going to say, you crazy? We're going to daven Mincha before Musaf? And he knew they weren't going to listen to him. And he felt that that is an important criteria to daven it in the sequence which the halacha demands. And that's why he davened Musaf b'yechidus, rather than run the conflict of davening Musaf before Mincha if they were so late. No, he wanted, they should have davened Mincha, but they weren't going to do so. They were going to daven Musaf first, because that's the way it's printed in the Machzor. Musaf comes before Mincha. Yeah. So, that happened. But
what would have been the problem? So they davened Musaf. And it would have been too late to daven Mincha.
No. If you start Musaf at the time when theoretically you can daven Mincha, you're supposed to daven Mincha before Musaf. Because Tadir, Visheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. And he knew that the people are not going to do so. Right. And one of his colleagues said, don't worry about it. Because is another reason why you should not daven Mincha before Musaf. Because the next year, they'll be davening Musaf at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they'll say, oh, let's daven Mincha now. Because last year we davened Mincha before Musaf. And they'll be davening Mincha at a time, which is 2 hours before Mincha. So let them forget about Tadir Vishenu Tadir, and just daven Musaf straight. But anyhow, so from the time of the Gemara Rishonim, they weren't terribly concerned about most shuls and things like that, but it happened for a yachid, they were concerned. And again, what's the issue here? I'm supposed to be davening when the tzibur davens. And the tzibur is never going to daven Musaf before 3 hours, not because there's so much to say during Shachris, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry early in the morning. Why is he angrier in the morning? I can't tell you. It's all Kabbalistic, Kabbalistic notions that there are time periods for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right. That, why do you think there are people who place a whole thing on Tikkun Chatzos? Getting up at midnight and reciting whatever it's imprinted in the Siddur. Because according to Kabbalah, that's a very opportune time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's got his guard relaxed. Not too many people badgering him at that time. So that's why there are people who are into this. We're not into those type of considerations. But I just bring it to your attention for the purpose of telling you, under those circumstances, you should try to daven when the tzibur happens to daven. When the tzibur happens to daven. Yeah. 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 If you now go to page number 7 for a moment, go to page 8 first. because then I'm going to show you the Gaon's comment on this. Asks the Gemara, "My dechsiv, what does it mean? Va'ani tfilati lecha Hashem eight ratzon. My tfilah is presented to you during a time when it's pleasing." When it asks the Gemara, "Ematai eight ratzon? When is a particularly pleasing time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu?" Answers the Gemara, "Bisha'ah shehatzibur mitpalalin." It has nothing to do with hours on the clock. It has to do when the minyan is davening. Therefore, the Gemara says, it is better to make sure to try to always time your davening, even if you are home, to daven when the tzibur is davening. So if you're stuck home on a Shabbos morning, so you can figure around 9:30 is shacharis. So daven Shmona Esrei at 9:30 on Shabbos morning. You want to know when Musaf is? About a quarter to 11. Somewhere around... What?
Depends on the rabbi's speech.
On the rabbi's speech. It usually depends more so on the Baal Tefillah. Whoever the Baal Tefillah. Some are Marach, some are Metatze. But again, it's identified here as eight ratzon. So commenting on that Gemara, go back now a page, is the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon. Comments the Gaon. Ematai eight ratzon, v'sha'a shehatzibur mitpalalim. On the last entry on the left-hand side. Mishum de lo yitachein etzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu eight ratzon. The whole idea of an eight ratzon makes no sense, says the Gaon, as it applies to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Dimashma she'itim mishtanim. It creates the impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes through cycles, different time periods. Oh, now he's depressed. Now he's happy. Now he's in the mood. Now he's not in the mood. To say that about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolute nonsense. Elo shahakol talui banu. Everything depends upon us. Be'eit she'anachnu osim mitzvah az eight ratzon. It has nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's moods, says the Gaon. Nothing whatsoever. It's all dependent upon us. If we act appropriately, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now inclined to identify such a moment as Eight Ratzon. Likach Amar Hashas. Therefore, the Gemara has said what it said. When is Eight Ratzon? When the Tzibur davens. So when there is a Kadosh Baruch Hu sees that we are davening B'Tzibur, then by definition, that is Eight Ratzon. Vad mekivan shehakra hishmianu sheyesh Eight Ratzon. The Pasuk has identified that there is an Eight Ratzon. Vadai hi be'eit hatfila shehatzibur mitpalalim va'osim mitzvah bekinufya. The word kinufya means gathering, with a big gathering. And I'll show you where this is used by the Ramban in Chumash as well. There is a pasuk in Parshat Baha'alotcha towards the end of chapter 10 of Sefer Bamidbar. We read this, it's two psukim unit. We read the second pasuk as part of the bracha, the conclusion of the bracha of Shofrot. I'll remind you of it. Uv'yom simchatchem uv'moadechem uv'reishecha tshechem utkatem b'chatzotzrot alalotechem v'alzivchei shamechem. On every festive day, Yom Simchatchem, and your festivals, and Rosh Chodesh, you blow with the chatzotzrot a tkiah, utkatem, Because the tkiyah is a sound of joy and gladness and so on and so forth. The pasuk before that reads, Ki tavo'u al hatzar hatzorer etchem v'harei otem b'chatzotzrot. When you will what? Come into conflict with your enemy to engage in war, then you don't blow a tkiyah. What do you blow? A truah, using the same chatzotzrot. V'harayosem b'chatzotzrot. Use a truah. V'nizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. You will now be remembered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Ramban in Chumash. You think this is kind of magic trick? You blow the chatzotzrot, you blow a truah, automatically v'nizkartem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem? How does that work? Answers the Ramban. The chatzotzrot are nothing but a signal l'kinufya, for people to gather in the shul. Why should they gather? Because there is a crisis. There is a war going on. And when you now pray together with the tzibur, that's eight ratzon. So it's not the chatzotzrot that create the eight ratzon. It's the kinufya, the gathering of people. And that's why on every tainus, they also blew shofar in every single shul, on every single tainus. To the chatzotzrot are limited to the Beit HaMikdash, and the shofar was blown in every community during a fast day, usually for the lack of rain or for any other crisis that they faced. It's the signal, the trumpet, to come to the Beit Knesset, daven together, and now, based on this Gemara, davening with the minyan is eight ratzon, says the Gaon. Digam mi pasuk b'chol koreinu elav muchach kishahatzibur mitpalolim. Pasuk states in Parshat Vo'et Hanan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us He did not select us due to the fact that we are the strongest nation of the world. He did not select us that we are the most populous nation in the world. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take us? We're Am Navon V'Chacham B'chol Koreinu Elav. We turn to Him for every one of our needs and He responds. B'chol Koreinu, whenever we call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He is willing to respond. That's a unique promise made to Am Yisrael. And that's again this idea of davening with a minyan. Davening with a minyan. And it's not always easy, but there are people whose day is built around, where am I going to be davening? Mincha today? I have 20 meetings. So you have that little app, that WhatsApp, that gives you a mincha every single minute of the day. Where, in what office? And people plan their days accordingly. They can't have the meeting there because that's the minyan for mincha. When am I going to tomorrow? Oh, I'm going to be home by 7:30. I'll do it before I eat dinner. Ah, oh, I came home a little late. I'm going to 9:15. Didn't make that. I'm going to 10 o'clock in 10:01 in B'nai Yishurin. Or I'm going to 10:45 in B'nai Yishurin. 10:01 is the only one that doesn't start on the hour. Every other minyan, 7:30, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10:01. Because they had that little game about 20 years ago when it was the only late minyan, and they said so many people charge in and they miss Baruch Hu. Let's wait one more minute. So then they come in 10:01 and miss Baruch Hu. Right, but that's why it was good.
Rabbi,
yes?
So I think a beautiful idea would be to say the reason that the time of anger is the first 3 hours of the day is because the people have not been up to do their mitzvot yet. There's been very few mitzvot done. So that's why these people want to daven at Vasikin, in order to get sort of the mitzvot going earlier in the day to help with that.
Interesting. And, that's a very nice. That's a nice idea. They want to get the mitzvot started to convert a time of anger.
Exactly.
Could very well be. Yes.
I don't know what he's angry.
Now, some explain why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry in the morning.
It's for us. Again, it's for us.
Yes. Correct.
What we just said.
I hear you. It was worth coming for you to say just say that.
Yes. The granddaughter was enough for me.
Oh, that's an excuse. That's a valid excuse. Yes. That's no, that doesn't mean necessarily morning. That means when it doesn't mean it mean that pasuk is not an indication of time. Boker there means a time when the presence of God is understood as if it were daytime.
Clarity.
It is clarity of understanding what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing to me, to you, and to Am Yisrael. So when I understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing, what do? I am Magid Chasdecha. But at night, Balelot, where things happen and I don't understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is operating in such a fashion. I'm sure you may have read this family in Eretz Yisrael. The guy who went to YU, Shmuel Berman, Eitan Berman. His son, Shmuel, died. He was 2 years old. Just didn't wake up.
Really?
A two-year-old baby. Nothing wrong with him. There was a whole thing. The RCA sent out a whole thing saying that they were sitting Shiva. The Levi was Saturday. He died Shabbos. The Levi was Matzah Shabbos. You know, already in Haram Nuchot, and he's been shiv all week, and they have a whole number how to reach them, and so on and so on. A two-year-old baby, and no one's going to be able to explain it to them. No one ever. And that's Leilot. That's at a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates, where we simply have no comprehension whatsoever, and we're angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we have a right to be, but we don't abandon him. We maintain our faith. Emunatcha balelo. So that's what that pasuk is saying. It's not talking about, you know, morning versus afternoon. But the simple reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu might get angry is because, don't forget, what was the most, I mentioned this by the Shir today, in the Chumashir, what was the most popular form of idolatry behavior in the time of the Chumash and time of Tanakh? Worshipping the celestial bodies. And the sun, when the sun rose in the morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the overwhelming majority of the world are worshipping the sun. And it ticks them off a little. Gets a little upset. What are they doing? Praying to the sun. They did not, the most popular of Avodah Zarah was not fashioned by man. That was not the most popular of Avodah Zarah. The most popular of Avodah Zarah were the Shemesh, the Areah, and the Kochavim. Because they looked those as enormous, powerful luminaries, and it controlled the tides, controlled the weather a lot. So they believed that these were deities. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what the explanation why he gets a little upset at that particular time. Yeah.
He created the whole thing.
Yes, I know. But he didn't create them for people to worship them.
It really is. Even the anger is
after.
Yeah.
Yes. You're talking in human terms.
Yeah.
I know. That's always we always talk about in human terms. Right.
Period.
Yes.
Especially when it's mood.
Yes. Yes. Good. If you now go to page 11 for a minute, there is a third issue entering into the fray. And it's all three sentences, all three statements in this Gemara, on this topic. Omar le, hachi omar Rav Chisda, page 11. Mai dechsiv, ohev Hashem, sha'arei Tzion, mikol mishkenot Yaakov. What does it mean that God loves sha'arei Tzion from all of the tent of Yaakov, a Mishkan? Answer, Ohev Hashem She'arim Hamitsuyanim Bahalacha Yoter Mibatei Knesiyot Umibatei Midrashot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes the places where they establish the Halacha. She'arim Hamitsuyanim Bahalacha. This is a Gemara that you should love, because you always want to know what the bottom line halacha is. That's what this Gemara is advocating. Not to sit and do pilpul and explanations. What's the bottom line? so I can do things appropriately. V'hainu da'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Mishmei de'ula, miyom shecharav Beit HaMikdash, ein lo lehakadosh baruch hu ba'olamo, ela arba amot shel halacha bilvad. Where does God like to hang out? In a place where they are discussing the halacha, the final halacha. The Amar Abaye. Meiresh, initially, hevigarisna begoibesa, I used to learn at home, umatzalena bebeknishta. And I always used to daven in shul. Abaye said, I used to go to shul to daven. Kevon deshmana, lahad Amar Rabbi Chiya barama mishmei de'ula, then once I heard this last statement, miyom shecharav Beit HaMikdash, ein lo lehakadosh baruch hu be'olamo, ela arba amot shel halacha bilvad, lo heva matzleina, Eloheicha digarisna. I only davened where? Where the place where I studied.
Even if there's no minyan.
Atzamach loikis harishayim. Some rishayim say, take the Gemara literally. Even if there is no minyan, he would daven at home because that was the place where he learned.
So why did he learn in Shul? I mean, he could have come back.
It's a good question. And the answer is because shuls today are not built the way shuls at that time were built. A Beit Knesset was built for one purpose and one purpose only. Only to daven. It was sanctified for the purpose of tefillah. You are not allowed to eat in a Beit Knesset. You are not allowed to drink in a Beit Knesset. You're not allowed to take a little snooze in a Beit Knesset. In a Beit Midrash, which is dedicated not only for learning, for davening, but also for learning, primarily for learning, you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to sleep, and you're allowed to drink. Why? Because if you're learning all day and you're hungry, you're going to have to walk out and waste time and walk home. So they allowed you to have a little snack and shul in the Beis Medrash, but never in the Beit Knesset. Please go, if you have a chance, you don't have to go. Go to Breuer's into their main sanctuary. They have no mezuzah on the door. A Beit Knesset does not require a mezuzah. What?
Correct.
That, yes.
Yeah, right.
But not because of Korach's question. Why does the Beit Knesset in Breuer's, because it was dedicated as a Beit Knesset. No learning in the main shul. Learning was in the Beis Medrash. So since you're not allowed to eat and drink in the Beit Knesset, it doesn't reflect Beitecha. And the Pasuk says, Uchsavtam al mezuzot beitecha. The room has to reflect the activities that take place in the house. Since a Beit Knesset doesn't, it doesn't require a mezuzah. Even al pi din, a Beit Midrash also does not require a mezuzah. But we put it on because some Tamid Chachamim eat there and they drink there and they sleep a lot. But al pi din, it doesn't require.
So you're better off davening in the Beis Medrash if you learn in the Beis Medrash here during the week, which a lot of men do.
Now, our shul, every shul today is dedicated as a Beit Midrash. We have plenty of shiurim in the main shul. It's all, even though it's called the Beit Knesset, but it's not halachically a Beit Knesset. Not halachic.
It's not a personal thing for you.
That's correct. And in fact, the Rav, if he knew that you were getting married in a shul, in the sanctuary, he would respectfully decline to come to be Masada Kedusha. You're not allowed to get married in a shul.
And some people say what? They actually want it.
I know. But you're not allowed, in a shul, you're not allowed to get married. Because it's reserved only for what? For davening. The only reason why we make a bris in shul is because of Tircha de Tzibura. Because it's held right after davening. I'd have to have the whole tzibur go to the house. That's a pain in the neck. So in order to minimize the tircha on the tzibur, we make a heter and you have a brit in shul. Otherwise, you're not supposed to.
But even
Rav Lifshitz, Zichrono Livracha, even if he, you know, even if he made a mistake, he didn't know, and he came to your wedding, he would refuse to be Masada Kedushin, even if he said he would be. And more often than not, they said he used to walk out, walk home. He never allowed a bait in a shul. I know.
What's the reason? I don't get the reason. It's disrespectful.
It's disrespect because it's only reserved for davening, nothing else. You're not supposed to build a sukkah in a shul, nothing. You only reserve it for davening. It has a certain kiddushah for this purpose only. Some say it's connected to chukas agoyim, that it's emulating a church service. That's what some say. But that might be true, but the primary reason why it's better not to get to get married in shul is based on this.
Okay,
and in that respect, if you're worried about the halacha, I don't want to say this, but it's true, getting married in a conservative reform shul is better than getting married in an Orthodox shul.
But then the Masada Kedushin is very often
one. Because of a different reason. Not because of that.
Right,
yes.
I don't understand that. If Ohev Hashem Sharim HaMitzuyonim B'Halacha, it's supposed to be where you do your learning. Where else do you learn besides a Beit Knesset and Beit Midrash?
You don't learn in a Beit Knesset. At that time, in a Beit Midrash.
It means
a Beit Midrash as opposed to where they're just doing lumdus in the Beis Medrash. They're learning analytically. He wants them to be learning in a what type of Beis halachic, where you focus on the bottom line halacha. There is a school today there are several yeshivot in Israel where the focus of the learning is not the traditional European style of lumdus, of trying to understand the abstract principles to understand about it. It's just to get to the bottom line. If there's an issue, let's come to the conclusion, the bottom line. But not just telling you what the bottom line is, but to see how the halacha develops. How the halacha develops. Unlikely. In the Beis HaMikdash, the only place they would be learning is where the Sanhedrin was. The Sanhedrin sat they were learning.
And that was outside
the... No, it's one of the chambers in the Beit HaMikdash.
But yes. That wasn't just...
No, but they also learned. 100%. 100%. Yes. But the... But the most people would not come to the Beit HaMikdash to learn. Most people would come to the Beis HaMikdash to offer a korban and to daven. That's
now,
the
thank goodness, people learn everything.
That is correct.
So this whole thing, you could learn in your home and then have a minyan afterwards.
That's correct. If you go on the Har HaBayit, they will introduce you to a kolel. I know. There is a kolel right by the door of where you step out. After your tour of the Har HaBayit, you step out into the old Muslim quarter Shuk. Right there is a kolel of people learning all day to learn, and it's technically still on the Har HaBayit. So they do that. But so what emerges from here is there are several different priorities. There is a priority of a minyan, no doubt. There is a priority of a shul. There is a priority of a Beit Midrash. And there is a priority of a Beit Midrash that is focusing on halacha lema'aseh. Halacha lema'aseh. But the most important thing is that the davening of Betzibur, not just the recitation of Kedusha and Baruch Hu, even though this idea which we talk about is not in the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say you can't have Tefillah B'tzibur unless there are 10 people. The Mishnah says you can't have Kriyas HaTorah, you can't have Baruch Hu, you can't have Kaddish. But as we saw tonight, the essence of Tefillah B'tzibur is not the additional Kedushas and Kaddish and so on and so on. The essence is to daven, to start Shmon Esrei with the Minyan. We'll stop here and we'll continue next of us. Yes.
Did you see my email?
No.
Did you get my email?
When?
Your mass email.
email after last year.
Yeah, I did. I did. Yes. I don't know why. I didn't respond right away. But I did respond. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I remember you had four or five questions.
I did.
I know.
It was very frustrating.